Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting pretty excited about some travel. Now, domestically, in New South Wales, we're actually allowed to go a little bit further than we have, and we're starting to come out of lockdown. But the rumor is that before the end of this year, we may even be able to do international travel. So if you're thinking about taking an overseas trip and maybe going somewhere that you plan to explore, how are you going to get yourselves around? I mean, data roaming charges can be very expensive. So what if you could take your Navman along with you and actually continue the excellent navigation you get in Australia and take that abroad? Well, in fact, you can. Now, international maps can be purchased through the Navman website. You type in what make and model of the navigation device from Navman that you do have, and it allows you to purchase maps. The good part is here, guys, is that if you're going to North America, you can just buy the North American maps. You don't have to buy every country on the planet. In the same way, if you're going to Europe, you don't have to buy all of Europe. You can just buy Eastern Europe or Western Europe to really allow you to make sure that you're traveling where you want to go, still with a strong GPS signal, no data charges, nothing at all. And the best part, you're downloading the most recent version of that map of where you're going as well. So you do the installation while you're in Australia, you put it all onto your Navman, you pack it in the bag, you get to Italy, you jump in your Fiat, you don't need to actually hire their GPS, which always costs way too much, is never in English, it's always too hard to figure out, and your existing Navman is ready to go and direct you all around the place, whether it's from Montepulciano to Rome to Pisa to the Amalfi Coast, whatever it could be, you can do it all on your Navman starting from today. So, ladies and gentlemen, check out the entire range at navman.com.au. And remember, if you don't have a navigation unit or a dash cam in your car, you're lost and you also don't have a second witness. So do pay attention. Check out navman.com.au. Let's get on with the show.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
And once again, this is Technology Uncorked. It is a podcast where myself, Jeff Quattromani, sits down with a glass of wine or some sort of beverage. It tends to vary from time to time. And we talk about the latest tech news and reviews of the week. If it's your first time listening to the show, welcome. I noticed from the stats last week that there's been an interesting spike in numbers. So I'm guessing some of you may have just discovered the show. And obviously some of you are long-term listeners who I absolutely love. And thank you for tuning in and staying with us on this show as well. Now, if you are somebody in New South Wales, you've just come out of lockdown. And to be honest, for me, it meant haircut week. And I couldn't have been more excited to have been doing that. I had my vaccination digital certificate on my phone ready to go. I was ready to check in wherever I needed to check in, show my phone screen to anybody, and just make sure I could get my haircut. And I couldn't have been happier. Honestly, it makes a huge difference just feeling a little bit normal again. Now, in front of me today, guys, I have a glass of red wine. Surprise, surprise. Another one from Grant Burge. They sent me three bottles. The third bottle I will probably save for a later date, but this second bottle, we had a GSM last week. This is the Filcel Shiraz. Now, Shiraz, South Australia, Barossa Valley. Can you get any more perfectly nostalgic Australian red wine? An absolute gem. Honestly, it's just a typical gem. Now, last week I said that their GSM is the one you just take to a dinner. You don't know what they're cooking. You know it's going to work. And it's a really respectable bottle of wine. The Shiraz is the bottle you're taking when you know for a fact it's either barbecue or lamb or a roast, or there's something sitting in that oven. There's some big red meat involved. Big red meat needs a big red Shiraz to go with. I'm telling you guys, it's the perfect match with it. The 2019 version, it's lovely. A lot of, you know, dark chocolate, a lot of plum, a little bit of sweet spice. It's really, really quite lovely. I've got mine a little bit chilled this evening just for fun, but it actually is nice as it's starting to warm up, I guess, to feel those different aromas coming through the glass as you give it a bit of a sniffy sniff and a swirly swirl every now and then. But look, it's been rated 95 points, which is very impressive. I don't like the point scale. I like to just try and then buy if I like it. Who cares about the price? It's all about whether you actually enjoy the bottle. This one is retailing for about $42. So again, not something you're going to drink on a Monday evening, but if you are going to somebody's place, they're putting on dinner, you need to bring the wine, they're having beef, boom, Grant Burge, Filcel Shiraz. This is the 2019 vintage, and we'll be sipping on this one throughout the rest of the show. Now, let's get on with some tech news. I know it's been about 4 or 5 minutes that you've been listening. We should probably talk about some tech. There's been a bit going on this week, and honestly, this is the calm before the storm. In fact, when I am recording, there's a huge storm brewing outside and it's been rather noisy. Maybe you're hearing the thunder that's going on, or maybe my power just cut out while I'm recording. However, this is absolutely calm before the storm, and we'll talk about what's going on next week from Apple, Google, and Samsung, all somehow getting their calendars in a row to make sure that we have three big events coming up next week. But before that, we're going to talk about HDMI cables very briefly, but it's an important thing to talk about if you are someone who's upgrading your home entertainment, especially during COVID. A lot of people have started to invest in their home. You do need to start thinking about the cabling that is involved. We're going to talk about EQR payments. Now, what is that? How is this going to work? Using a QR code to pay for something? Yes, it's real and it's coming. Let's get you educated and informed on that. We're going to talk about those crazy big tech companies that are hosting three events next week. Some of those products, in fact, I have with me already, but I can't talk about those, but I can tell you about the rumors of all those and maybe give you some hints along the way. No, just joking. Google, don't listen to that. And then we're obviously going to talk about a new speaker, actually, that's come from Bowers & Wilkins. I'm so excited to talk to you about this one. It's bringing back something that existed some years ago, but it was one I always envied and admired. So we'll talk about that too. And who knows what else could pop up in the middle of the show. So thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get on with a jam-packed show. Again, the calm before the storm. Let's buckle in. Last week, we spoke about the new Sonos soundbar, and we talked about soundbars in general, in fact, and just sort of talking about the fact that if you're investing $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever it is, in a new television, that you should invest a portion of that purchase price back into audio. So say, for example, you're going to put $3,000 into a new TV, at least spend $300, $600 on a soundbar or some sort of audio package to lift and improve the audio experience that you're having. But it also stems one step further to that as well. You have to start thinking about the components that are delivering the content from devices to your television. And what I mean by that is this. If you have a new Xbox or a new PlayStation and ones which are carrying very high resolution, very high frame rate content, if you're trying to send that content to your brand new TV, which can actually handle that level and that quality of content, the road in between those two devices needs to be able to handle it. Now, the best way to talk about this is that if you've got a HDMI cable today, and maybe you used to have it going from your DVD player to your full high definition TV, that HDMI cable was probably just as good as that, in that it could carry DVD quality footage from your DVD player and deliver it to your television. In fact, as a result, it meant that whatever you saw on the DVD was exactly as you should have seen on the TV, meaning that you watched as good as it could have been. But when you take that HDMI cable and you apply it to maybe a brand new 8K television, and you're going to use the brand new Xbox Series X, and you're going to be playing very high resolution, very high frame rate games, or even if you're watching Ultra HD movies, you need to start thinking about, can my pipe, the little pipe, that little HDMI cable between those two devices, actually carry the content and make sure that it's delivering it as it's intended? What actually happens, and it's quite interesting here, is that if your Xbox, for example, is running at its best, but it's pipe, the HDMI cable connected to it, is a dated cable, the Xbox doesn't really know. It doesn't really say, hey, your cable sucks. It just sends its content out as it thinks it should. The cable then carries what it thinks it can. You know, it carries a little bit of that water out of that bucket and goes, well, this is all I can handle. And then it just drops it into the TV. So the TV says, thank you for that. And it shows it as it sees it from the cable. So as a result, you get degradation between the Xbox and the television and your experience. You don't really know that it's poor unless you were to compare it with somebody else who's got one of the more updated cables. So it's very interesting, and it's something that a lot of people just don't know about and not paying attention to. Now, this was really brought to light for me this week when a company contacted me to tell me about their latest HDMI cables. And generally, I don't care about cables and components. I don't think we've ever spoken about components and cables on this podcast before. But they wanted to talk about this, and I obviously lent an ear. Here is their key message, exactly what I've been telling you. And their message here is that they've now got new HDMI cables going into stores today, which are going to be capable of carrying 8K content and supporting the latest HDMI versions. Because guess what? They have versions of HDMI cables. It's not just one size fits all. They've also sent me one to try out. And it's interesting too, interesting timing, because I do have an Xbox Series X. And I am waiting delivery on an 8K television. So perfect timing to actually be putting this to the test. And you know that I am going to be actually testing this. I'm going to swap out this cable with an old HDMI cable that I do have in the cupboard. And I really do plan on seeing if I can tell the difference. And not just me, who may have a keen eye, I'll be bringing people into the room to see if they can tell the difference. All I'm going to do is just swap that HDMI cable in and out and see if it does change. Now, to give the company some credit, it's a brand called G-Tech, and it obviously means Jeff Tech, obviously, G-T-E-K. They're owned by a company called Laser, and Laser makes a huge amount of different affordable technology products that exist out there. But this is there's a 3-meter HDMI cable, for example, can carry 8K content, definitely the sort of thing you would probably want to be using if you are upgrading to an 8K TV. It can also support 120 hertz in 4K ultra-high definition as well, if that's what you're gaming in. So do pay attention to those exact specs. They really do call out here. This is for people who've bought a PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. These are the ones that people need to be paying attention to get this kind of cable. Now, a 3-meter version of this, you're talking about $79. This is the current price at launch. $79 in the scheme of things, even if you factor in the fact you've paid, say, $600-$700 for your Xbox, maybe $4,000 for your TV, $79 is not going to break the bank. Add that on top, negotiate with the retailer, see if you can even get them to throw it in for free. Hey, you're already spending maybe $5,000 with them. $79 could be something they just throw in as a result. So do use things like cables as bargaining chips when you're buying a new television, but do factor it in. And guys, as I said, when the 8K TV arrives, I will have time to do some proper tests with this. This isn't just me talking about data and specs. This is now going to be me putting it to the test. So stay tuned for all of that as well. Now, after this, we're going to talk about EQR payments. What, how, and why. This week, we heard from Commonwealth Bank, NAB, Woolworths, Coles, all coming out to say that they are going to be supporting EQR platforms. Now, FPOS and QR codes coming together. So when you pay for things, it could get very different as we start to use our phones, not just for tap and pay as an option, but for scan and pay effectively. So I think what's happened here, we've had the pandemic. We've all been told to check into venues to scan QR codes. QR codes have been around for so long. I remember as a young fella, my first business card, I had a business card when I launched my first tech blog. It was called notanalog.com and it's gone now. But I had this tech blog and my first business card actually had a QR code on it. And people used to be like, what do I do with that? And I'm like, no, you just take your phone, you can scan it and it goes straight to my website. It's so cool. I don't think anyone ever scanned it. I literally had like a tracking thing on it to see who would scan it and people just didn't do it. But QR codes are now a thing. So as a result, FPOS is jumping on top of this. And what will it mean? Say, for example, you're at Woolworths, you're doing your groceries. For those who don't know what Woolworths is a grocery store. You do your groceries, you get to the checkout, you know, the lady or the man scans all your groceries, puts it into your bags, and the dollar amount comes up on the screen. But we'll also then see a QR code be created, okay? You open up your payment app, and it could be your Commonwealth Bank app, it could be your NAB app, as they've been the ones that have come out and said they would support this. You open up their app, sign into it, so you sign into your bank. There's probably going to be a big button that says pay with QR. You press that, opens up the camera, and it scans the QR code. We'll probably then present to you the dollar amount again as a confirmation, and you would then click pay. That's it. You would click pay and then a couple of things could actually happen. Given that this whole transaction is an internet-based transaction, realistically, in that scanning the QR code will connect you to a payment system to make that transaction, what could then easily happen is a couple of things. You could then get a digital receipt straight into the app that you're using or via email or whatever mechanism the vendor chooses to distribute the receipts to you. You could also integrate gift cards. Because, hey, gift card systems could potentially be using QR to pay for things as well. But you may also then start to see offers, loyalty bonuses built in. So again, thinking about Woolworths, they have their own loyalty system already. I think it's called Everyday Rewards. That could easily be integrated into the FPOS QR so that when you make that transaction, it's already factoring in your Everyday Rewards card. It's giving you the receipt in that same spot. And it actually could mean that you've got this very nice location for all of your purchase history and all of your transactions that have had take place. So that's another element of FPOS QR. And that's just the grocery store example. If you were in a retailer, when you're buying that new TV, for example, you're going in there, you and your friend, for whatever reason, maybe you share an apartment, you're going to buy a TV together. You could be using EQR to even split payments. So when you scan that code, you could push a button, say split payment, and it would then allow that other person to chime in. Take it another step. For example, you might have a gardener. You might have somebody, a tradie, come and do something at your house. They may do the work and then on their phone, open up their billing app, type in how much you owe them, show you a QR code, which you would scan. You would then see the total on your phone and you'll be able to make that transaction. So again, thinking about any other payment systems that we used to have, whether it was people carrying around small little pocket paging systems to make payments. So many other traders have had to make their own changes to accept card that this would be a better way for them to do it, all on their smartphone, no other gadgets that they need to actually attach to this. Take this even further. A lot of what we've spoken about here has been around variable costs, where when you approach the till, it's going to be a sum of a bunch of items. So it's not unlikely to be the same price as the person behind you or in front of you. But let's think about Bunnings. What if you were to go to Bunnings and you've got your sausage sizzle going on? You know that's always going to be $2.50. What if as you were lining up for your snag, rather than even getting to the person to place the order, they would already have the QR codes generated as printed cards where you could go up to the one sausage sandwich and a Coke, scan that, bang, transactions made, show it to them on your phone, boom, they put the snag and the can of Coke in your hand and you walk away. That's another way that you can take static transactions and put it into a QR code as well. Then you can think about this in another way, virtual. So at the moment when I go online shopping, sometimes I don't know the vendor. I could be shopping on any random website. I might see an ad on Instagram, click on that. I end up at some other random place where I'm looking at clothes or whatever it could be. How often do you feel nervous about punching in your credit card details into any website? It's always nerve-wracking. And again, people use PayPal to try and circumvent that, where they're using a payment service that will sit in the middle of those and you pay with PayPal to make it feel a little bit more secure. Well, again, what if as you were buying that pair of jeans on whatever website it was, let's just call it Jeans West. Does Jeans West still exist? Let's say it does. You go to jeanswest.com and you find your next pair of Levi's, you add it to cart, you hit submit, boom. Up pops up on screen a QR code. You take your smartphone out, you scan that QR code, and the transaction can go through in a very secure way because on your phone, you will get confirmation of who the vendor is, of the amount, and you'll be able to record and log that transaction securely in your banking app because if it's CBA or NAB, whatever bank supports it at the time, another great thing there too. So you start to really understand here this whole value chain of where eQR could work. That's for people who know how to use QR codes and are comfortable doing it. I'll be very nervous when I'm sitting in line, say for example at Bunnings, I just want to buy my $2.50 snag and there's an old bloke in front of me who's not comfortable using a smartphone, but hey, they've heard about this stuff, they're going to give it a go and I'm waiting 10 minutes for them to scan this code and to make sure it works and they say, oh, hang on, it didn't work, I actually wanted 3 snags, not 2. You can just imagine that there's going to be some drama. I know that when I go to Woolworths at the moment and I have to check in on the COVID app, I know that I'm always waiting a little bit longer because there's someone in front of me who gets to the front, then decides to open their app, then forgets how to log in or whatever it is. Like you can just see QR codes are great, but they've definitely got some complexity around them compared to taking my phone, opening up Google Pay and tapping my phone on their payment terminal and walking off. That to me is still my preferred way, but I can see some potential use cases where FPOS QR could certainly be beneficial. The other area I was thinking too, before we move on to other stuff, is warranties. You know, you take that example of when you buy the television. Imagine if when you've made that transaction, you know, you've got a very strong transaction history of the price, the purchase, the date you did so. But if the person you're buying it from or the retailer that you're buying it from could also provide the warranty information in that same transaction, that could be hugely beneficial. What if they could also provide collateral around setup or instructions or whatever it is? You have to think about that whole relationship, not just beyond the payment, but what does that payment actually mean? It's a handshake between you and the retailer. What else could they provide as part of that handshake? And I think there's a lot of benefit there as retailers start to figure out what that really does look like. So FPOS QR, it is coming to Australia, they reckon before the end of this year. So just keep a lookout for that. I know they'll be advertising the wazoo out of this. FPOS is a company, and they are probably quite threatened by the huge rise in Apple Pay, Google Pay, and things like that. They will want transactions to come back into their platform. And as you can see, they're talking about different ways to do it and really expanding it across so many other areas. So it seems like retailers and banks are excited, probably because they don't want to be using the likes of Apple Pay, which take a slice of the purchase price along the way as well. So anyway, EQR. Are you ready for it? Do you hate it? Do you love it? You know that you can text me what you think about this, right? 0467-439-078. Send me a text. Do you love EQR? Do you hate it? Are you scared? Who knows? Now, after this, we are going to talk about the next potential speaker that will go into your home. It's from Bowers & Wilkins. You're going to want to listen to this. Now, you may have heard me talking on the show before about Bowers & Wilkins. They're a brand that does not make a lot of song and dance. They're very discreet in their advertising or their marketing. Maybe they just don't have a big budget for it, but they don't shout. I've never seen a billboard from Bowers & Wilkins. But they're a brand that focuses on audio, and boy, do they focus on audio and get good at it. The latest speaker that's coming from Bowers & Wilkins is the Zeppelin. And you may have heard the Zeppelin name before because they were one of the first to really make a sexy iPod dock. Now, many, many years ago, kids, sit down and have a bit of a history lesson here. Many, many years ago, the iPhone and iPod, the iPod was just a music playing device, didn't have the phone component. They used to have a 30-pin connector, a wide plug, not like the Lightning one, much wider. And as a result, the amount of iPod docks that came out to market where you could just stick your iPhone or iPod into that dock and play the music through that speaker while also charging your phone, they were everywhere. They started from like $100, but they went up to thousands. Some brands went crazy with it. And one of the brands that really stood out was Bowers & Wilkins. They had a product called the Zeppelin, and it was called the Zeppelin back then also. However, it looked like a blimp, a big black blimp. And I think the Zeppelin actually is a name of a blimp of sorts, probably a Russian thing. I don't know. I'm sure someone can trivia me on this, but Zeppelin, I'm pretty sure, was a blimp, and that's why the design of it looks like one. But the Bowers & Wilkins original Zeppelin had this big dock connector on the front. And I remember at the time, I think I probably was a BlackBerry user. And I remember at the time thinking, well, this sucks because I've got a BlackBerry and I can't connect it to this speaker. It had the big 30-pin connector. And I always felt that was a silly mistake for any brand to make something so generic, so niche on a phone or a brand that would only work with that speaker. So then some other brands started to add auxiliary inputs and some brands started to add Bluetooth, which was also fantastic. And in 2021, the Zeppelin makes a comeback. It's been 6 years. It's been 6 years since this has happened. I think they had some other ones created along the way. And there's no plug at the front anymore. It is now just a big old speaker that still looks like a big blimp. And it's now got 2021 features. So what do I mean by this? Well, AirPlay 2, Spotify Connect, Bluetooth. I mean, Bluetooth is there if you need it. But it's also aptX adaptive Bluetooth, meaning that it can actually support high-res audio, which is an important thing to have here. Spotify Connect, I mentioned, AirPlay 2, which means that pretty much anything that you're using, you should be able to cast music to this speaker. Moving on from that as well, they're also going to be creating a Bowers & Wilkins app. So an app probably similar to what you see in Sonos, where you can manage these multi-room, or within the app also connect to other music services. And they've listed some like Tidal, Deezer, Cubuzz, SoundCloud, and even TuneIn. That's to really help you push high-res audio to these speakers, because that's what they're going to want to do. This is not going to be a cheap speaker. It is a very premium speaker, but it's something that actually looks like a piece of art. It's something you would put on your mantle or your buffet in the house. You want this to be seen, and yes, you will certainly be able to hear it. But this is what we're going to see. It should arrive in 2022. It looks gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Something I would love to have in my house. I don't even know if I'd be able to get one of these to review, because they are going to be quite expensive to check out. And I don't know if I could even review it and do it justice beyond saying it just looks beautiful, which I already know that. It will have Alexa built in as a voice control assistant. No Google option, which is interesting. I guess they made a single deal there with Amazon on that. But that's another great thing, that you can just talk to this speaker and get it to play whatever you like. And gosh, if it's going to tell you the weather, it's going to do it in a beautiful clarity from what I can tell. It has a series of speakers inside the Zeppelin. So you've got one massive woofer, two sort of mid-range speakers either side of that. And then further out to the thinner edges, you'll have a couple of tweeters as well. But then it definitely uses its chamber to push that audio and make it sound good. Now, Bowers & Wilkins have some headphones that I've tested before and adore. If I am taking a long-haul flight and I want noise-canceling headphones, I pack my Bowers & Wilkins, because they just are the most cleanest, most comfortable, beautiful pair of headphones. They just make music sound even better than it already is. Even if you're listening to trash, it makes it sound better. It just does. So I do want to hear it on the Zeppelins. I'm so sorry. It actually is available as of next week. I thought it was available 2022. Turns out I'm seeing here next week. Oh, the app that they're going to have for Multiroom is available in 2022. So you can get the speaker today, use AirPlay 2, Spotify Connect. But the app, if you're a Tidal user, for example, you need to wait till next year to do that. Price-wise, let's talk about this right now. If you're in the UK, $699. If you're in the United States, $799. But if you're in Australia, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for $1199. I believe that's the same price as an iPhone 13 mini. So your choice, iPhone 13 mini or the Zeppelin, something that will stand the test of time, will look great in your home, and will continue to sound good. I mean, not that you're really deciding whether you buy a speaker or a phone, but just give you some context around things. That's the Bowers & Wilkins Zeppelin. All right, so here we go. Next week, open your diaries. Let's get talking about things. Let's get organized a little bit. And this is something I love to do on a Sunday night normally. You know, I like to open up my calendar and go, what's happening this week? What am I doing? Boy, 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 boy. All right, the 19th of October, we will have an Apple event. Now, once again, Apple, thank you for the invitation. It must have been sent to a different address. I mean, who knows? But Apple will be holding this event, and October 19th, it's called Unleashed. They've got this big warp speed looking picture in the invitation. People will try and analyze and froth over whatever that could actually mean, but it just says Unleashed. They've got some new products coming. What are we going to see? Well, it's probably going to be new computers. And what I mean by that is MacBook Pro. MacBook Pro is actually due for an update. I mean, gosh, as is the MacBook Air, but I don't know if we're going to see that. It would be very nice if they did decide to, but expect the MacBook Pro to be heavily updated with the new processors that we've seen from Apple earlier in the year or last year. And if you're looking at buying a new MacBook today, hold off, wait till the event next week. I think that's going to be important. They will be talking about the new operating system that's expected as well. It's called Monterey. It was announced at WWDC. We expect that would be coming to market and something that people could start to download probably from next week. They usually don't hold off too long on that. A new iPad Air is a maybe, a massive maybe. They did announce the iPad Mini last week, last month, whatever it was. It doesn't feel like that long ago that they had the last Apple event, but there could be a change to the iPad Air. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if they were smart, they would update their AirPods because boy, have I talked about it for a while. Those things are dated, they're ugly, and they're feature lacking and overpriced. Why doesn't Apple invite me to these events? But the AirPods are seriously in desperate need of an update. I have got 5 pairs of wireless earbuds in front of me that are better and cheaper and have more features. And that's, to me, a very telling sign that Apple has fallen behind. Sometimes there's one pair. You know, when you think about phones, for example, Apple's usually pretty much hanging up a first or second place in terms of what the best smartphone is on the market. In AirPods, they are so far back. They're like a tenth. It's really embarrassing. I really want to see them update the AirPods. I just hope it does happen at this event, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm genuinely getting a little bit, not dismayed, but, you know, we have these Apple events. I get calls that morning from radio stations or TV crews saying, can we talk about what Apple announced? And I'm like, why? What they announced was a level of disappointment. You know, they continue to announce stuff that is just not that exciting when other brands do hold events or sometimes quietly announce something that is so revolutionary and so groundbreaking and doesn't get the same traction or the same media hysteria that an Apple event does. It just doesn't make sense sometimes. So, and especially, you know what, especially since the brand refuses to have any engagement with me, it's another reason why I'm like, well, why? Why should I? Why should I have to talk about them? I mean, I talk about them so you guys are informed, but why should I go on air to talk about just their event? It doesn't seem to make sense to me when the announcements lately have been not that exciting. And in this case, I'm not holding my breath. And you know what? The sad part is I'll probably still wake up at the crack of dawn to watch it. So here we go. Let's wait and see what that one looks like. But it's funny because we then have the next day an event from Google. Now, in this case, I'm trying to be very careful in what I say. Now, you don't need to be Nostradamus to know that Google's announcing smartphones. They're announcing new Pixel phones. Heck, I've been watching, when I watch The Block, I see ads for the new Google Pixel. So the Pixel's coming. The amount of images that they've leaked It's pretty clear as to what it looks like. I'm probably not doing anyone injustice by saying I have the devices in front of me. I don't think that would be a very big announcement to make. I have the devices in front of me. I have been using them. And when we talk next week, I'll tell you what they're like, because heck, I've been using them for a while now as well. Whatever Apple announces, I'll have no hands-on experience to tell you about at the time, but from a Google perspective, I certainly will. And that, to me, is better for you. So this is why I appreciate brands talking to me, because it means I can serve you better as a listener. So yes, we do expect a couple of phones to be announced. I'm actually still going to tune into the event, even though I have the products that I think are all being announced. I could end up being surprised by this as well, because there's always been rumors of a Pixel Fold, as in a foldable device like the Galaxy Fold, but one that's made by Google, potentially being cheaper, potentially not having that front screen. This is something I don't know about, and I'm being very honest with you about that. There's also rumors that they'll announce a Pixel Watch, and that could still happen as well. I guess I could say I haven't received a watch from them, so they may be announcing a watch and not told me yet. So that could still happen. Also, I feel like I'm treading over the line of embargoes or NDAs here. But as far as I know, there's strong rumors about it, but I haven't seen it. So who knows? Google may be giving me products that are kind of known about or well known about. And there may be things that they announce on top of that, maybe which aren't coming out straight away. And that's why I don't have them yet. And things that would still be to come. I definitely feel like I've broken some sort of embargo here, but it's okay. Tune in next Wednesday to get all of the actual details. And the best part is, all these events are all being streamed online, so they'll all be publicly accessible. If you have nothing else to do at like 3 a.m. in the morning, join me. I'll probably be feeding my daughter a bottle of milk and watching these at the same time. It should be a lot of fun. The next day is from Samsung, and this one is interesting. It's called Unpacked Part 2. It's not the first time that they've done a Part 2 of their Unpacked series. I'm not surprised by this, but I don't know what they're going to announce. We've had foldables. We've had the Galaxy S22 or S21, whatever we're up to there, S21, I think. We've got smartwatches from them. What is it going to be? We had CES, and at CES we hear about appliances. So what's coming now? I have a feeling it's going to be mostly about software. With Android 12 now being publicly available, or you know, being released to manufacturers, I think that is what they could be talking about as one of their elements. I think they'll talk about how they're going to bring Android 12 to Samsung. We know that Samsung always skins things and models things a little differently on top of Android to give it their own flavor. What will they actually do with that? Will they be talking about how they manage that? Because we know that Samsung and Google are kind of in bed together a lot more than they used to be. When they did the Galaxy Watch Series 4, or Galaxy Watch 4, I should say, they have a really good relationship on their watch operating system now. It's not Tizen. It's a really nice mix between the two brands, as well as Fitbit, obviously. And I think now would be the right time to talk about what impact that relationship has on their smartphone operating system. Could they be changing the Samsung UI to be dramatically different and make it a little bit more Google, a little bit more traditional Android? That's something we're going to have to wait and see about, but that's definitely something we could assume. The other thing, however, is when you look at the invitation, I hate being someone who just analyzes or unpacks invitations, but when you look at it, a couple of key symbols are there. The SmartThings symbol, which could suggest we hear about home appliances, and that could mean that we hear about home appliances that are integrated to one another, whether it's a smart fridge, air purifier, washing machine, dishwasher. Samsung make a number of appliances that even don't come to Australia. In fact, I didn't know this, but in Korea, Samsung even offer insurance. It's insane. So who knows? SmartThings tells me that there could be something to do with the smart home. Could it be a Google smart speaker? Samsung do not have one at the moment. Could they be looking at doing something like that? I don't think it will be headphones, because we've already kind of had that from Samsung as well with their new buds. And there's also a camera icon. Could that mean an actual camera? Samsung used to make proper Micro Four Thirds cameras and stuff like that. I used to love them, actually. They were really good and they were really nicely integrated. Could that happen? I don't know. But the biggest thing for me is there's a bunch of squares, bunch of colored squares, yellow, pink, navy, and black. And it reminds me of a fridge that they had in, I think it was in CES, at CES in Las Vegas. And it was a fridge that you could literally customize, in that if you wanted pink doors, you could snap on and snap off these colored tiles that would cover the entire door, and you could have your own, you know, color scheme of your appliances. that, and those colors exactly the same as what I'm seeing in that invitation. So that could be a big nod as to some sort of appliances that will be announced. It's just strange. I just don't think Samsung has done appliances in this way. It's usually done at CES. I don't know why now would be the right time to do it. This is one I'm probably going to have to tune in for. Samsung have been in contact about this. I have not heard an opportunity to talk about this prior to the actual event, which means it may not be as big a deal as I think it is, or it could be more than that. I don't know. Or maybe they're just being very discreet on this one, very mum. So let's just wait and see. But that's from Samsung. You will need to wait until the Wednesday or the Thursday. I think I'm trying to get my days in a row here. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have 3 days back to back. Yes, I'm pretty sure it's a Thursday because that means that when we record this show, we can unpack everything from Apple, everything from Google, and then everything from Samsung in one episode. I think we're going to need to set aside half a day for you to listen to that show, or I will break it out because when I do talk about the stuff from Google, I'm probably going to need a little bit of time just to talk about those things, based on what I've seen and touched already. So let's wait and see what happens there. A lot to look forward to. Yes, we're coming up to Christmas. Yes, we're starting to build our Christmas list based on all these things that we regularly talk about. It's not just wine, it's also tech. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I'm going to wrap it up right there. My glass is empty. You've been a great audience. Please, if you have any questions, always reach out to me. I genuinely love to hear from you all, whether it's via Facebook, via Instagram, or even via Twitter. You can reach me whatever way suits you. That's what I'm here for. Have an amazing week. Look after each other. And I'll speak to you again next week as we unpack three huge events. It's going to be huge. Speak to you soon, guys. Bye-bye.